Like, nobody wants to pay $200 to a cat.
Welcome to Super True Stories. We suffer through and report back on the worst and weirdest documentaries you can stream. I'm Dave Hunt.
And I'm Jamie Hunt. And I hope you like Up Talk.
I don't.
Do you like Vocal Fry?
I don't.
Oh, well, you might not like this film.
I don't. We watched Sugar Sisters on Amazon Prime.
Sugar Sisters purports to be a documentary about three siblings, all girls, who decide to pursue the ancient art of getting a sugar daddy. And here are Hannah, Amalia, and Caroline to tell you all about it.
Did they say in the description that they were all like literal siblings?
I don't remember.
I went into this not understanding that at first. I thought that Sugar Sisters was just like, well, they're all trying to be sugar babies, so it's like the sisterhood of traveling sugar babies or something.
I kind of thought that they were sugar sisters kind of in like the sister wife sort of vein. Like they all had the same sugar daddy.
Oh.
Yeah. So I guess we should read descriptions though, because the description does say that they are sisters.
Okay. I suppose we should also define the term.
Which one? Sugar sisters, sugar daddy, sugar baby? Documentary, quality filmmaking.
I think it's too late for several of those. They define sugar baby for us as someone who receives gifts and cash from an older, wealthy, quote-unquote sugar daddy in exchange for companionship. And I think how you define companionship is a big part of what this documentary turns out to be.
I feel like these are the most literal women on the planet. They thought it literally meant companionship. Like, they're very sheltered. It might be because they're Canadian, which is really an important part of the story.
They're Canadian and they're also Catholic, which I didn't realize was a thing.
I mean, there's Catholics everywhere, Dave.
The Canadians that I know just seem too sensible for that sort of thing.
Canadians also seem too sensible for sugar babying.
That does actually come into play to some extent as we get further in.
Yes.
Hannah talks about growing up Catholic, going to church, saying her prayers before bed, but
I've always dated men and women, and there's no place for an opinionated queer woman in the Catholic Church.
She says that her sisters and her are like a lot of 20-somethings. They work hard, but struggle to make ends meet, and a lot of their friends are making money as sugar babies, so that's what she's going to try her hand at. I should modify that and say, but no hand stuff.
Yeah, it's an interesting career path. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but their friends who are sugar babying are definitely having sex with their sugar daddies.
It makes you wonder like why they didn't have more awareness of that going into this when it's their friends that are making them interested in it.
That's so bizarre. But they seem to be going into this really naively, all of them.
Yes. Hannah is in a relationship with a woman named Jocelyn. And Jocelyn says that she's okay with all of this as long as there isn't anything sexual.
Have they not even Googled the term sugar daddy?
Amalia just quit her job of working at a cafe. She wants to go after a sugar daddy as a shortcut to financial stability.
The perfect retirement plan.
Yes. And then Caroline goes to school in Montreal, but she doesn't speak French, so she's having trouble working. So all three of them, thus motivated, sign up on a paid dating site to connect these women with sugar daddies.
And they seem pretty convinced that this is going to be their only source of income.
Mm-hmm.
Is being a quote-unquote companion, although I don't know why I'm putting quotes around it, because they seem to think there aren't quotes around it, that they are literally just going to hang out with dudes and then those dudes will give them money.
Hannah says that she has friends who routinely get $100 to $200 a day as an average.
What dude is going to give a girl $200 just to hang out with him?
It seems like a lot of money.
Yeah.
They get dates lined up pretty quick. Hannah's first date is with this guy who tells her at the date that the girls on the sugar daddy dating website are all very young, like 17 to 20 years old. And Hannah is 28. So apparently she was too old for this guy.
Her best years are behind her.
Yes. But during the date, he also tells her about something he calls negging.
You've never heard of negging?
I've never heard of negging.
Are you serious?
I'm old, and I've been married for over 20 years, so why would I know about negging?
So he tells her that negging is basically making a girl feel bad about herself and insecure, so she keeps coming back for more. Like, he talks about how he met a model and just was like, oh, really? And then she spent the whole night, like, panting after him to get him to believe she was a model.
Mm-hmm.
And all I could think was, this is why you have to pay for dates.
Yeah, but then they cut to Hannah, and Hannah says,
very impressive, dude. I don't
know. A very impressive dude doesn't have to pay for dates.
No. Well, Hannah gets to the end of the date, and yet another thing that you would think they had maybe figured out ahead of time, Hannah realizes she doesn't know how to ask the guy for money.
Right.
I didn't know how to be like, so, am I getting paid for this? It would have felt like asking my actual dad for money, you know? Get him 20 bucks. Okay, have a good night.
It was a total bust. I didn't make anything.
And she didn't learn anything by that because she says that it ended up going on like that for weeks.
Yes. So she basically hung out with a total jerk for free and then just kept doing it. Never learned that you need to be upfront about what you're going to need. Like, none of that.
No. And her sisters aren't having any better luck. Caroline had a date lined up, and then 3 hours before they were supposed to meet, he called her and said that he was running late and asked if she could just come to his hotel room.
Right.
And she says no. And Hannah complains that all the guys seem to want is sex.
Shocking.
Right. And so she talks to Jocelyn and kind of starts feeling out like, are you okay with me doing anything physical?
And Jocelyn is not on board at all.
Like, and some of them, they want emotional intimacy with sex. They want to feel like they have a girlfriend, you know?
Mm-hmm. That just sounds tricky. I don't think I would be so fond of that. But I want our relationship to be the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Meanwhile, the girls are like, not getting paid has made them jaded. And Amalia says she's not doing this for charity.
Yeah, right. And then a bunch of these sugar babies all get together. Like, what do you call a group of sugar babies?
A flock?
A gaggle?
A murder?
A daycare of sugar babies?
There you go.
Hannah is worried that she's being too quick to say no to what these guys want, but she's worried that her sisters will be too quick to say yes to what they want, which ends up being quite ironic.
Yes, it does.
Hannah meets with her friend Sandy, who is a professional sugar baby, to try to figure out how she turns these dates into financial transactions. And Sandy's an expert. She's got four sugar daddies. And Hannah is just amazed how people pay Sandy just to chat with them for attention.
People pay her just for her attention. And that's so cool. Like, how do I get someone to pay me for my attention? You know, my attention's valuable too.
So Sandy reviews Hannah's profile on the sugar baby website. And we get to see the picture.
This explains a few things.
It's basically just a picture of her cat.
Yes.
And that's not a euphemism.
No.
It's her cat.
It's her holding her cat in front of her face. And Sandy's like, well, there's your problem.
Right. Like, nobody wants to pay $200 to a cat.
No. Sandy tells her that she's got to pick a better photo. And that you don't want to seem like you're just coming at them for money. So this is like a really weird thing, right? Because the women apparently are supposed to be acting like they don't want money, and the guys are supposed to be acting like they don't want sex.
Yeah. It's like this whole, why don't you all just be honest about what's going on here? But I guess that's prostitution.
We'll get there too.
Yes.
I guess the profile photo change works because Hannah and Amalia end up getting a date on the same day with the same guy.
And this is interesting because you're like, okay, which one of these girls is going to get more money?
Mm-hmm. Hannah leaves the date very excited because
he paid me. This feels like such a success. I didn't even check if it's, he paid me more than he said he would pay me. He paid me $130. $5 more than he said he was going to pay me.
She got like a 3% tip.
Yeah. But then Amalia got groceries and $150.
And I kind of feel like Hannah's sort of like, oh, great. Wow. Wow.
Good for you.
Yay.
Also not enthusiastic is Olivia. Olivia is their mom.
Yes.
What you guys are doing is just about the antithesis of what has been modeled to you. You know, like me and your dad have a really good relationship. We got married really, really young, but I married him because I knew I would be happy with him. And guess what? I'm right.
So needless to say, you don't like that we're doing this.
I don't like it at all.
Okay, boomer.
Right. Well, so Hannah's response is,
my mom has a point, but she's a baby boomer who's uncomfortable with sugar dating and sex work.
So she's a virgin who can't drive.
Right? Like, I think Hannah coined okay boomer.
Yeah. Hannah next connects with Andrea, a former call girl and author of, I guess, a book called Modern Whore. And Hannah's telling her about how, oh, it's so exhausting. There's all these texts and phone calls and... And Andrea's like, yeah, I didn't do that shit.
Basically, she just goes and sleeps with the guys.
Right. She tells Hannah that the sugar daddy route means that there's a lot of time invested that's not being compensated. And so Hannah leaves this conversation, not exactly ready to go out and become more physical with these guys, but she's done wasting time.
Yes. She's ready to light the sugar daddy world on fire.
Yes, and that means leaving Canada behind and going for the big time in New York.
And she meets a guy named Alan Action.
I wonder if that's his birth name.
There is no way that's his birth name. His whole job is setting up sugar daddies and sugar babies.
Alan Action feels like somebody who should have died out in the 70s.
Yes, he doesn't wait in lines. That's an important thing to know about Alan Action. And he's gross.
He goes up to these women.
Okay. This is your friend over here?
Yes.
Come over here, girl. This is like a nice juicy-licious lady.
Juicy-licious. In 2016, juicy-licious.
Juicy-licious in any year.
This guy totally feels like he time-traveled from 1974.
Yeah, I mean, he's wearing modern clothes, but he feels like a leisure suit.
He does. Like he's that polyester fabric.
Like, underneath the suit is a leisure suit.
Yep. It's itchy.
Lots of things are itchy. He's with these girls that he called over, and he says,
now, here's a question. Do you want to go out with a busted up, broke-ass, bankrupt dude?
Hell no.
See? In unison. Like, they're singing. Here's my question to you. If you were going out with a man, he had a lot of money, and he used the money by saying, listen, I know you have a lot of school debt, honey. I'm going to take care of that for you. And now I have opened the door to our chemistry to be developed. What do you think of that?
It's a lovely idea, but it also sounds like prostitution.
And then he gets into some semantics here.
How can it be prostitution? He's assisting you from the goodness of his heart. He's not expecting sex. He's expecting you to entertain his advances.
That is our new code term.
Well, they call bullshit.
Oh.
But Hannah does not.
No.
At the end of the night, Alan has arranged a date for Hannah with a New York sugar daddy named David, who she says is cuter than and younger than she expected. He was flirting with her, but he didn't cross any boundaries. And at the end of the date, he gave her $400 and he wants to go out again.
Which in New York City, $20 an hour is not a lot of money.
No.
She also, at some point in this, says that she's blonde, but she's not blonde. It's like she's altering her dating profile in real life.
Caroline is still struggling. She went to a steakhouse to meet a sugar daddy in his 40s and everything was fine, but then he started making quote-unquote sex eyes at her.
Yes.
And he reminded her of their dad.
Which is so gross.
And she did not get paid.
No, but she ate a lot.
She got dinner.
Yep.
We check back in with Hannah and Jocelyn complaining about how Hannah is messaging guys sometimes like 50 times a day. And then Amalia, we find out, has ended her quote-unquote situation with her sugar daddy. But Hannah has a date the next day with this guy.
Yes, and she's dressed like Blossom. She's got like the floppy Blossom hat on.
Amalia says, he's really nice and you enjoy his company. Why are you taking money from him? And Hannah says,
it's money from him. Literally the point, Amalia. It's literally the point.
Right? Like, where did Amalia lose the thread?
I don't know. Well, also, like, do they not like Jocelyn?
That's a good question.
Because if she's saying, like, this guy wants a relationship, you think he's nice.
Just have a relationship with him?
Right. But what about your girlfriend that you seem to be in a committed relationship with?
Yeah, I don't know. These girls have a lot of growing up to do.
Some of it is about to happen. Caroline backs out of all this. She's going back to Toronto and basically moving back in with her parents.
I can't understand why these girls thought that they were so great that people were just going to pay money to hang out with them.
I don't know. I mean, I suppose if you have a circle of friends and they all seem to be successful at this, like you start to think like, well, maybe I can do it too.
I guess. But I feel like this is the fallout of like raising your kids thinking that they're special snowflakes.
This kind of feels like the like Amway of relationships. The one friend is selling LuLaRoe and now they all are.
It's a pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
That would make more sense than anything else.
Well, Amalia is living at home and she gets a big fight with her dad, who we never see.
Wisely on his part.
But he managed to shame her out of doing this.
Yeah.
But Hannah's like not having it.
No.
She gets invited back to New York with sugar daddy David.
This is hilarious because she's like, I'm a strong, independent woman that doesn't need a man. Except I need a man to pay all my bills. F the patriarchy. F like gender roles. But I think a man should pay me for my companionship.
She says that she's queer.
Uh-huh.
And maybe Jocelyn is more okay with the idea that it's men that she's doing this with. But is there a sugar mommy thing?
Oh, I'm certain there is.
I'm not going to Google it. I didn't Google anything for this episode.
Then I'm going to drop some reality on you.
Oh, boy.
So she goes to New York and hangs out with David again. And there's all this footage of her trying to get him to buy her stuff.
Yes.
And it's so gross.
What about this? Would you buy this for me?
Next time you're here, definitely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sweet.
See that? Yeah. So you like the earrings. So, yeah.
I do. You should get these for me and you should get yourself a pair of socks.
Girl, there's no amount of money worth losing your dignity this bad.
She says that she has chemistry with this guy and he gives her a goodbye hug and kiss on her cheek and offered her an allowance and trips to New York, but she doesn't know what she wants anymore because she feels like things are getting too serious in a way that would piss off Jocelyn.
Yeah. So she goes back to Toronto and Caroline and Amalia have quit sugar babying.
Yep.
And they are super judgy that Hannah's still doing it.
Hannah calls her on it.
Yes.
Like, just because you're not doing this anymore, I'm in the wrong? Because Amalia unloads.
Yes, and it's really bad sistering.
I think you're in the wrong because you're sugar dating at the expense of a lot of your other relationships.
That's for me to decide and not you.
Okay, well, when things go wrong for you later, then don't expect me to be around.
Excuse me?
It's just funny that, like, you're my older sister and I always expected you're the one to be around for me, but you really haven't lately. I'm done.
Her sister sucks. They're all doing the same thing. And then one of them gets disillusioned earlier than the other. And suddenly the other is like this terrible person.
The sisterhood of traveling sugar babies is falling apart.
Yep.
David invites her to New York, and against all of her family and Jocelyn's feelings, she decides to go for what ends up the final time. He invites her to come up for a drink, And there's this small little awkward hesitation.
Okay, it looks like our ride is here. Would you like to come over for a drink?
But she doesn't do anything when she gets there. She freaks out and leaves.
We didn't really talk about the money he offered her. $2,000 a month.
She starts talking about how, like, well, actually, that's even more money than you think it is, because in Canada, that's like $3,000 Canadian. She's so bad at this.
She is really bad at sugar babying. And the guy's kind of like, oh, well, maybe I meant Canadian. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. But it was obvious it had strings attached.
Yes. Hannah notices that while they're having this conversation, like at a sidewalk cafe or something, like they're getting dirty looks from people.
Yes.
Almost as if they're discussing a financial arrangement for companionship out in the complete open.
Right. It cuts to her kind of talking into the camera in like a diary confessional sort of way. And she's just now realizes that sugar babies are expected to have sex.
I realize that if I'm going to do this and if I'm going to make money, if I'm going to get the big payoffs, then I have to sleep with these men. Once I thought about having sex with David, the relationship becomes so much bigger, so much more energy, so much more effort, so much more of me. And I think that's what I can't give, is me. It's all of me. Not for a little bit of money.
So for a lot of money?
What's the threshold here, Hannah?
Yeah, it makes you wonder.
It's obviously more than $2,000 a month, though.
Well, she's back with Jocelyn, and she says, sugar relationships can work. I know a lot of women make it happen, and I thought it could work for me too, but my priorities are clear. I've got to hold my people close. And then it's just done.
Yep. Just bam, done. So would it surprise you to learn that Hannah is also the director?
Oh, that explains a lot.
I didn't know that till afterwards, but once I knew that, I was like, okay.
I was so over this. This is one of the very rare times where I didn't even watch the credits. I was just done. Like, nope. I suppose this is one last opportunity to try to wring some money out of this.
I guess.
I mean, we probably gave her 50 cents.
Probably so. Man.
But Jamie, you can't put a price on knowledge. So for the 50 cents that we paid Hannah, what did you learn?
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't fucking know either.
There was not much to learn in this documentary. So I guess a little cheekily, what I did learn is that Canadians don't have more sense than us. I thought they did.
I mean, it is kind of funny that she's got to come to New York for the big city sugar babying.
Right.
Because Toronto is not a small city.
That's true. I'm kind of with the mom here.
You were raised better than this?
Yes. So yeah, there's not much to learn here. There was no context. There was no like one in five women is a sugar baby, or this is basically Hannah's like vlog.
You're right.
Of her adventures of sugar babying that doesn't pan out at all. The little like subtitle for it is something about like how much of your morals will you have to give up? It's more like girls learning how the world really works.
To their credit, it seems like none of them give up anything. They try to make a run at this idea that guys will pay them just for literal companionship, and when it turns out that they won't, they bail.
Yeah. What did you learn?
I really didn't understand that this was such a widespread thing that there were whole dating sites devoted to this. It seems like this should be like, you have to download some kind of app like Grindr or something to be able to do this. I don't know.
I love how naive and sweet you are.
I also thought that it was a lost opportunity that they didn't call this Hannah and her sugar sisters.
I know, right? I thought the same thing.
It was right there.
Right?
And you know why they didn't do it?
No.
Because Hannah has never heard of that movie.
Oh my God, right?
Because she's only 28 years old.
Oh God. This sucked. You know what doesn't suck?
Tomb Dragomir. Tomb Dragomir is the creator of our theme song, which is Mexicana Massacre. It's off of his album Instrumental Psycho Synth. And if you're looking for more podcasts to check out, we recommend our friends at 6 Foot Plus and The Projection Booth.
We would really love it if you had time to give us a review or share this podcast with your friends. Find us on social media at Twitter at Super True Story or on Facebook at Super True Stories. So now that we've lost our will to live from watching this terrible documentary, I guess we'll sign off.
Until next time, I'm Dave Hunt.
And I'm Jamie Hunt.
Catch you later.
Bye.
Nice, and you enjoy his company, so why are you going to keep taking money from him?
It's literally the point, Amelia. It's literally the point.